So we are learning this again in the Bama Beis Ma Beis, this machlokes in the Gemara about whether or not Kufra is a kapara or Kufra is a mamona. And the Gemara initially suggested maybe this was the explanation of the machlokes, whether we go based on the mazik or the nizak, or we assess the value shaminim b'dinizak shaminim or b'dimazik shaminim. And the Gemara said no. In the end of the day, Rapapa says that kuyama Kufra is a kapara. And it's just a machlok is how to make the assessment, but be'etzem, it's really kufra is considered a kapara. So that was the maskan of the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis. We have an interesting machlokas, a number of interesting machlokas in between the Rishonim, with number nafkami is between kofir and whether it's kofir or kapara or whether it's mamon. Ramban already al Torah writes that im kofir yushas alav, bavur hayes kofir kapara. Kidnin HaKarbanos. He already, right off the bat, he categorizes kapara as a type of carbon. It's not really carbon, obviously, but we do have other aspects of kapara, not only through karbanos, but there are other avenues too. Gullus, for example, we learned is another form of kapara. So kapara comes in many different forms. So one of them is the payment of kapara. Vimhu eino chavit ba, v'ein machrichen, ein machrichen osa lavalabez in the chayva b'kach. If he's not interested in the kapara, that's his problem, that's his fault. We don't intervene. Via filu im chayvu, even if we establish that he is in fact chayv to pay the kapara, ein mashkinin also, we don't take property from him, we don't take collaterals to encourage him to pay. It is what it is, it's up to him. He wants to walk away without the kapara. That's certainly his prerogative. That's the shita of the Ramban ala Torah. But the Rambam in Hilchos Nizke Mamon, Perikyut Halacha Dalet, he says it differently. And he talks about the halacha zeh shekasev b'Torah v'gam bal v'yumas mipi Hashmua lamdu shechiv misazu bidei shemayim v'mnasan kofer hanerag miskaper lo v'af apish kofer kapara, even though kofer is a kapara for the mazik, mimashkinin mi shenischayv b'kofer bal karcha. Bezin does intervene, and they go ahead and take things from his property until he's willing to pay the kapara. So this is a very important machlok, is Ramban versus the Rambam, whether mashkinin from the his nechasef or not.
I thought like maybe you could say in the Rambam that maybe he's saying it's kofar mamona, because if there's such a direct, even though he says it's kapara, it's still maybe the reason why he argues the machlokas is that he says that you would be chayav bal karcha is because it's kofar mamona.
So very good. So how do you explain the afapisha kofar kapara then?
Meaning it can still serve as kapara, but maybe it's also kimat kofar mamona at the same time.
Ah, very good, excellent. So that's what the Bircha Shmuel said, which again I couldn't find to have you see inside, but he writes as follows. Even in the machlokas, whether kapara is kufra or mamona, whether kofar is kufra or mamona, even if you assume kufra or kofar is kapara, you could still say they're two dinim. The Bircha Shmuel says this. He says, do you assume that kofar, even the mandamar kufra is kapara, do you still say it's a kapara absolutely, completely, and only exclusively kapara? Or is there an additional element of being mamon and nizikin as well? That's what the Bircha Shmuel, that's his understanding. You have this many times, just to keep in mind, before I get the question, keep in mind in general, the Rambam, I don't want to say this categorically, but many times when there's a machlokis tanaim, and they seem to say opposite, like two different things, the Rambam many times will have somewhere in the middle. He's going to make the machlokas much narrower than you would have otherwise thought. There are many occasions, I remember my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, he would point out that many times Rambam paskin, let's say like A, but would quote the svara of B, the other person who argued. There's all these theories all the time, and the answer was that A and B were not as far as we thought. Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Shimon were not as far as we initially thought in the Gemara. One says mamon, one says kapara. No, even Rabbi Kiva was it, I think, who said kapara, that even he who holds kapara would also assume this element of mamon as well. Excellent, Avi. And that's very muduic, actually. If you look at the Magen Mishnah on the top, the Magen Mishnah on the Halacha Dalet, he says, Zeh shekasev b'torah v'gam balav yumas, mevur sham b'sanhedrin, u'mash shekasev Rabbeinu Zal b'mashkin m'mishichai b'kofer, that we do take the property until he's willing to pay. It's a question there. It's not an answer.
And
If you could take it from the if the nizak could take the yorshe and nizak could take it from the property of the mazik, if they don't want to pay, meaning Tosa says the question is, could the yorshe and nizak, could they intervene? But pashit, if he doesn't want to pay, bezdin is a megavin umashkenin kishar nizikin de alma. Like any other nizikin. But wait a second. We just said the Rambam holds as a kapara. Elamai, the fact that the Magen Mishnah is invoking the sheet of the Rashba. And the Rashba clearly compares kapara to that of nizikin. And that's how he's explaining the Rambam. The Rambam also holds that kofar is kapara, but it's also the element of nizikin as well. So now with this understanding, we're going to walk through and see the machlokas. Do we assume it's a pure kapara, like the Ramban, and the Bezdin doesn't get involved, or it's a kapara plus nizikin, whereby Bezdin would get involved? Yeah.
I thought that the essence of the Rambam held it was kapara, but in this case it would be different because the Bezdin can't just let this guy get his nishman. They have to do something to like make sure they give him kapara.
But we don't see elsewhere the Bezdin gets involved in that which is bide shemayim.
Does everyone agree that you still pay it to the Yorshin of the Nizak?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's where it goes. That's
there's no alternative that maybe paid based on something. Right. It's always going to the Nizak.
Exactly.
It seems like Nizikin in that aspect.
Exactly. The fact that they receive it, but at the same time, you have other instances where people receive things and may not be it's due to them. So, for example, when it comes to Gezel HaGer, if a person stole from a Ger and the Ger is dead, so he has no relatives, so I'm assuming he has no relatives, that's why we use the example of a Ger. So who gets the money? You pay to the Kohanim. So you have, even though the Kohanim don't deserve it necessarily, now it would make sense that the Yorsha and Nizak should deserve it. I'm just pointing out, just because they're getting it, they're just the most natural address, but that doesn't indicate it's necessarily Mammon, though. And you don't, can't, you know, all the money in the world cannot replace a lost, relative. So, okay, fine. So now let's move on to the next Machlokas, which we see the Ramban and the Rambam Lashit Tassam as well. And here the Ramban asks an interesting question as to why kofar was not on the list in the Mishnah of exceptions. Our Mishnah mentions exceptions of Galus, mentions exceptions of Ben Grusha, maybe Ben Chalutza. And some of you asked me during Seder, how come the question wasn't asked, what about that, the Evid Ivri, why was that not on the list? Why didn't the Ramban ask that question? I'm not sure. All good questions. But his focus was, why was Kapar not on the list in the Mishnah of exceptions? So he says that because if you assume kufra is Mamona, so that's a regular case. Adam said he owes Kofar. They're caught. They pay Mamon. If Kofar is Mamon, it's regular Nezikin case, and that's not an exception. So that's why it wouldn't be on the list. And then he asks about maybe the Malkus you should get, so as a din of a Losana, not for now. But then he says, Laman Damar, that Kofar is a Kapara, in which case we don't view this as Mamon. And then he says, why is that now on the list? Shouldn't there be Malkus here? Right, whenever you don't have you can't fulfill the kasher zamam because kapara is not shaykh to them. Just like gullus, we said, if gullus is kapara, it's not shaykh to apply the kapara of gullus to that of to Adam zomim. So there's malchus instead. So the kufra kapara isn't shaykh to the Adam zomim either. So elamai, they should be getting malchus. Why is there no malchus here? To which the Ramban says, because there's no malchus. This is lo lucky. He says that kufra kapara, that we only apply a punishment from to the Edom Zomim. But we don't apply a kapara to the Edom Zomim. So if you can't fulfill Kasher Zomim, what they try doing, we can at least replace it with Malkos. Just like Gullus, we couldn't apply Gullus to the Edom Zomim, so we replaced it with Malkos. So here too as well, you should have Malkos for Kofar, and we should teach Kofar on the list of the Mishnah as another exception, that you don't get what they try doing, but they get Malkos instead. To which Ramban says, no, Lamaisa, there are no Malkos when it comes to Adam Zomim who testify about Kofar. It doesn't apply. He doesn't say why, but there's no Malkos when it comes to Kapar. Well, that was in the first Man Damar of working within Mammon. Even though there's Mammon, there should also be Malkos because Losana. So it could be that he's working with that first thing he initially had said. He's going out the Man Damar. It could be he's going back to that, which can be a pshat in Echanami. But he didn't say that explicitly, but I think that is definitely one of the pshatim. Yes. So then he quotes the Rambam who holds that that there is Malkos. There is Malkos for the Edom Zomim who are caught on saying Kapara. They do get Malkos. He doesn't think they're correct. So based on Avichai's suggestion, what Jonathan suggested during Seder, there are two ways to explain this machlokas. We'll first take your approach, and then we'll go with the approach of the Bir Chashmul, and I see in the bottom here also the quote of Rav Zalman Meltzer as well, a second approach. So the first approach that you're alluding to is that maybe this connects to a machlokas by Ben Chalutza. Ben Chalutza, whether you get Malchus or Ben Chalutza, if you remember, Ramban says in the beginning of the Masechta that Ben Chalutza does not get Malchus. He says it was sugar delicious, the Ramban said, and the Rambam seemed to indicate Ben Chalutza would get Malchus. So it might go back to Losana, which the Gemara, the footnote alludes to here, that the Ramban says Losana wouldn't apply to that that din. Now, it's a little bit more sophisticated than what I'm saying right now, because that was really Ben Chalutza's really din to Rabbanan. So I don't want to get too involved, but it might be a machlokas about whether or not Losana will lead to Malchus or not lead to Malchus. It's a din of how to understand Edom Zomim, not how to understand Kofar. That's one approach. And just to prove that they're arguing about how to understand Edom Zomim, like Avichai just said, it sounds like he's working on the fact that there was no Edis, there's only Hodah, there's nothing to trigger Malchus and Losana, as opposed to if you look at the Rambam, you look at the Rambam in Perek Chaf Hilchos Edis, in Halacha Ches here, and Halacha Tes, the Rambam lumps together the halachas of Ben Grusha along with the halachas of Kofar. They're all together. It seems like it's a special din in Edom Zomim, that whenever you can't give the Hazama, you give Malchus instead. Not a chiddush about how to understand Kofar. The chiddush of how to understand Edom Zomim. So maybe just read together halacha ches and halacha tes, and you'll see how that flow works out. Says the Rambam halacha ches. I'm going to read through this pretty quickly. Edom shehi'idu al echad v'hishu rasha. They testify about someone, and then they're caught. They all get Malchus. Even though they didn't attempt to give the guy Malchus, it's a special din that these exceptions get Malchus nonetheless. So Malchus is what one gets instead of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That was the second exception. Third exception, they get kofar. And fourth, this is a mesorah that we have, that these are four exceptions whereby they get Malchus, even though they didn't try giving Malchus. That's a special din. And he goes on to explain, how do we know this? Halacha test. And they exonerate the innocent, and they make the Edom of Russia, fine, that's the special din. So it sounds like the way the Rambam groups this together, the Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, along with the case of Kofar, sounds that's a general din that Edus of Edom Zomer of these four cases get Malchus. Ramban says no, they don't get Malchus because it's not considered an Edus. That's one approach, and I think it's a very fine approach, maybe even a push-up shot of what's going on between the Ramban and the Rama. But bringing it back now to our sugya, where the Bir Chashmul wants to explain, as does Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, as quoted in the footnotes here, is connecting to the sugya of Kofar. And it ends up being the Rambam, the Ramban of Lashitasim. That the Ramban says there's no Malchus because Malchus is Bezdin intervening. If we assume that Kofar is purely Kapara, and as Ramban said Allah Torah, Bezdin does not intervene when it comes to Kapara, they wouldn't intervene in terms of giving Malchus either. That's just not their area when it comes to Kapara. Their hands are off. But the Rambam, who holds Afa Pisha Kufra Kapara, even though it's a Kapara, there's the element of Mammon, the element of Nezik, and that's why Bezdin would intervene to try to collect the money. And they would also intervene in giving Malchus for such a case of Edom Zomim that is on the case of Kofar. Everyone's good so far? Clear?
That's according to the Ramban.
That would be, the second thing I said was the Rambam. That there is Malchus for the Rambam, because like you said, in addition to there being Kapara, there's also the element of Mammon / Nezikin, which then would generate Nezikin, rather Malchus, allowing Bezdin to intervene in a situation of Kofar.
Still saying that Ikr is Kapara.
Yeah. 100%. Ikr is Kapara.
They're masculine.
Yeah. Everyone agrees Kapara. The masculine is a Kapara. The question is there a second din and a secondary din? It's not the same level, but a secondary din of being Mammon as well. Yeah.
In Meiri also, right? In the
I didn't see the Meiri. Birch Shmuel, yeah, I didn't bring it with me. I don't remember the every detail of the Birch Shmuel, but how'd you get it?
Yeah, the Hebrew
rocks. Oh, you did? Oh, I tried Otzer HaChachma, I couldn't find it. I should have tried Hebrew rocks. Okay, very good. So what does Meiri say? I don't remember.
I forgot that it's Kapar, we still have the.
Yes, yeah.
Some Shari Mizikin.
Right, like the Rashba was quoted in the Magen Mishnah, the same thing. Yeah, very good. Okay.
Can you explain, please, the side of the Ramban in the first way that we explain the Machlokas?
The first way the Machlokas is that whether or not, again, we didn't touch upon this so much in the Eidim Zom and Sugyas here, but the Ramban writes that there's no Eidus here. It's really Hodah Ba'alma. And you need Eidus to generate the Isser of Eidus of Losana. Losana requires Eidus with a Gemar Din to trigger Malkos. There's no Gemar Din here. He explains there's no Gemar Din. They just testified, but Bezin never gave an actual Psak. Since there was never a Gemar Din, the Eidus was never complete, and they can't trigger Malkos. It's a technicality in the Eidus of Eidim Zomim. Eidim Zomim does not really need a Gemar Din to kick in Eidim Zomim, but for the Malkos to come for the Eidus Shav, that does require Gemar Din. And since there's no Gemar Din, you can't speak of the Malkos. But the Rambam thinks otherwise. The Rambam seemingly thinks that Eidim Zomim is dependent on the Gemar Din. There was a full Eidus in there. There was a violation of Lo Sa'ana, and that would trigger Malkos. Again, that's just one simple approach. There are other ways to explain within the world of Eidim Zomim, but that's hopefully sufficient for now, at least.
How is that evident, though, based on, as Rabbi said, the grouping together of Ben Grusha and Kofar together in the Rambam?
Yeah, because he again ends up explaining here that the reason why you get Malkus for all those cases is because the special, not because Kashir Zomim, it's because the Pasuk of Yeshua Sarasha, of Tzukas Tzadik, that Pasuk, and then he contrasts that to, but a case, another case, of, you know, Acha Basav Chalav Ola Shatan is that's Malkus because Asisim Lo Kasher Zamam. But this is an exception, so whenever you can't fulfill the Kasher Zamam, you fall back on this extra different drush, a different source of the Malkus, and the fact that you lump them together, it's a Din and Eidim Zomim, or again, a Chiddush, a special exception Eidim Zomim, as opposed to an understanding of Kufra Kapara.
You wouldn't necessarily need a Gemar Din or anything official, so to speak, to be Mechayev them.
Seemingly not, for now, but yeah. Okay, so now a few other nafkaminas to this machlokas between kufra kapara versus purely kapara or mamon as well. So there's a Rashi in Baba Kama that the Kuntres Hashirim, who wrote Kuntres Hashirim, very good, Rav Gusman. Gusman was a tzaddik. He said, "Olam." I'll tell you a funny story about Rav Gusman. He spent some time living in New York, so. Rav Weinberger's mother-in-law, if I'm getting this correctly, Rav Weinberger's mother-in-law knew Rav Gusman back pre-war. They grew up near each other, family friends, apparently. So he would call the house all the time, just checking up, and they'd call each other like first names. Well, that itself is interesting. So when Rav Weinberger got engaged to his wife, so his mother-in-law was insisting that he go introduce, they had to meet Rav Gusman. So he drove over to the yeshiva, and he was telling them, he was waiting outside for them, he was telling them to pull the car in a driveway, but there's like a big boulder somehow blocking the driveway. So he indicated to some of his talmidim, could you move the boulder, move the rock out of the way? See, a few talmidim were trying to like push, and they weren't able to, but it wasn't budging. So Gusman, he took the boulder by himself and just slid the whole thing over. He's known to be a very, very strong man, A lot of stories about him. Either way, with Gusman, not only Gashmis, but certainly in Ruchnius, in his Limud HaTorah, so Rav Gusman, I say, he writes this pshat in Rashi. Rashi says that when it comes to tsaros, if it's indirect damage, an animal kicks up some pebbles and causes damage, there's a special lacha moshe b'sinai that the owner is chayv to pay the nezikin. What about if a person was killed by the tsaros, would there be a chiv? And the Rashi says that no, only when an animal begufo directly kills someone is there a chiv kofer, but when it comes through tzoros, it comes indirectly by something ricocheting off of something else, a pebble of some sort, a rock or something else, that would not be subject to kofer. So it says that Rav Gusman, just reading his language, nira the kavanas Rashi lefarish kushis agamar leman damar kofer kapar. In that world, which is how we paskin aliba de hilchasa, lazer kasa Rashi de ein lechabo elachidusho begufo mamish. That the world of Kapara is not a case of Nezikin. It's a pure case of Kapara. It's a Chiddush HaTorah of Kapara Dilein kapara hu chiv acher she'ein lo shum shaychus ledina nezikin. It's not correlated at all to the world of nezikin. That although nezikin throws his chayv in nezikin, it doesn't trigger, it doesn't register in the world of kapara, because kapara is not in the category of nezikin. Aval leman damar kufra mamona harehu kichol nezikin dekochol gugufo. So he says the question of whether or not Tzroros is chayv in kapara would hinge on whether you paskin kufra kapara or kufra is mamona. We could say within the Birch HaShmuel, this same nafkina could be within the world of kapara as well. Even in the world of kufra kapara, maybe the Ramban and Rambam would argue this, meaning the world of the Ramban, where it's purely kapara, there certainly wouldn't be chayv nezikin tzroros. But in the world of the Rambam, where in addition to there being kapara, there's also the element in nezikin, maybe, I have to bring a roof, but maybe the Rambam would hold there would be a chiyuv kapara even through tzoros because of the nezikin that is present. Okay. Who got a chance to see Nemuka Yosef? No, a couple of you had a chance to see this. Okay. So what did Nemuka Yosef say? What was his nafka mina?
You have to fall on top of
him. Is this Shane?
Maybe it's not the wrong one.
Suffolk, a case of Suffolk. What would the din be by a case of Suffolk? Let's say a Suffolk kofer. Oh. You're not sure yet?
He said that if it was a suffix mamon, you wouldn't have to pivot for suffix kapara, then you would be chamor because it's mishmai.
Exactly. When it comes to suffix mamona, we say motzi michaveiro lavarai. You want to extract money from the guy? Prove that you're right. If you can't prove you're right, everything remains status quo. Misoika lo nafki mamona. When it comes to kapara, the person wants to be yotzi l'day shemayim. He wants to fulfill his kapara the best way possible, even though he doesn't know if his animal killed this individual, misafik, he should pay if it's midin kapara. So that's the nafkamina that Nemuka Yosef says. And again, we could take that same nafkamina and say, even within kufra kapara, maybe that would be present as well. That for the Ramban, who holds it purely kapara, then, actually, I'm not sure we actually turn up the nafkamina because it both holds kapara. So either way, you'd want to fulfill your chiyuv. So maybe this wouldn't work out to be nafkamina. Everyone would hold that misafik, a person should go ahead and pay the mamon anyways. Even for the Rama who holds it as an element of nezikin, but be'etzem, it's really a kapara. So still misafik, a person should pay the kapara. But that does pave the way for Rav Yosef Engel. Yosef Engel, beautiful piece here. This is a very dear piece to me of Yosef Engel. When I was learning Baba Kama many, many years ago in YU, so one of the first sugyas that comes up on that base is Ein Onshin Min HaDin. Ein Onshin Min HaDin is a fascinating sugya. There's a lot of pages talking about Ein Onshin Min HaDin, and this connected to me. And then, I was in a point of life, Baruch Shem, a good place in life, but he said something very interesting. I didn't know what to make of it, and started opening my eyes up to other things. What was it? So when it comes to Ein Onshin Min HaDin, there are three explanations found in the Achronim and Rishonim why we say Ein Onshin Min HaDin. The example of Ein Onshin Min HaDin, the classic example, the Pasuk says, the Kavachom, the Pasuk says, though, that there's an Isser Erva from a Bas Bito, a granddaughter, but the Pasuk never says about one's Bito, one's daughter itself. So that would seem to be obvious that if one's granddaughter is a Rayo, certainly one's daughter, but it's not mentioned. But then they have to make a Drasha to include, Bito is also included in the Erva. You need a Drasha. So why don't you just say kavachomer? If the bas bito is asa midin erva, kavachomer. Why say in onshim din? We don't use a kavachomer din to apply in onish. That's the din. Now there's a three-way machlokas why that is. What's the explanation of in onshim din? So the Marsha writes in the Masechah Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalet, he says, because maybe when you try to apply in onish from a lighter case to a more severe case, maybe the more severe case requires a higher level, a greater type of kapara. Maybe what's a kapara, just for the example of a granddaughter, is sufficient. But the kapara needed for a daughter, a much more severe erva, you need a greater kapara. This might not suffice. That's one explanation. That's the Maharsha's understanding. The second understanding is found, I think Rashi says it. He quotes who says it. I thought it's Rashi. I think it's Rashi, but I think it's Rashi in Pesachim. Either way, the others say because it's Shema Yesh Pircha. The din is a kavachomer a person can make on his own. Make our own kavachomer, as opposed to gzer shava. Ein adam don gzer shava miatzma. You cannot create your own gzer shava. It must be a mesorah that you have. So kavachomer is I make it. You make it. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe there's a flaw in my logic. So since there's a certain weakness, even though it might make a lot of sense, we can use that to apply an onish. Maybe shema yesh pircha. And the third pshat, he doesn't bring here. I think he brings another different paragraph. There's a, it's a, one of the midas. It's a midah. We have Yirgum midas shatar nejeshbahem. One of those midos, if you find other midrashim, they expand beyond the 13 we know. There are many other rules. Those are just 13 main rules, but there are other rules of darshing. And there's a rule. It's just a din is you can't use a kavachomer for an onish. Those are three basic understandings. Yeah.
Well, Dio wouldn't apply in the first step for knowing where a kavachomer would
use. Dio wouldn't apply. No, because Dio is where you try to apply a larger punishment. This is trying to apply the same punishment to a different case, though.
So why would we think that there would be a larger punishment?
All we can apply is the dio means we're trying to expand the case. If a person is separate from Taras, in the case of Miriam, for 7 days, so Kadosh Baruch Hu should be 14 days. They're trying to expand a larger onish. We can't do a larger one. Here we're trying to say the same exact onish, apply it to a more severe case, but the same punishment is passing.
But we can't say by kapara.
We can say.
We're going to say that maybe the kapara is bigger by.
Maybe there's a need for bigger kapara, but we don't know what the bigger kapara would be. No, we don't know how to create that kapara, so therefore our hands are tied. Okay, so now there's a fourth shot Rav Yosef Engel says. And this is what, again, this is a side point, but just triggered me, got me excited about this. He says as follows, that there's a difference between kal v'chomers and gzer shavas. Gzera Shava is Midas Din, and Kavachor is Midas Rachamim. What? What are you talking about? I love this here. These are new terms to me. And Midas Din is a punishment. Punishments are very restrictive. That's why Ein Adam Don Gzera Shami Atmo is very limited. Kavachomer is expanding something, applying it elsewhere. So it's more Rachamim. You want to have more Rachamim, more love, more care in this world. And through that, since a Kavachomer is Rachamim, you can apply an Onesh in the world of Rachamim. They're just a steer to each other. So that got me really excited about certain things. From that point on, I started doing a lot of research on different topics in this world of Kabbalah, Hasidus, whatnot, until I found Rav Weinberger maybe 7 years later, who opened my mind up to some other things. But that was a fascinating thing. Rav Yosef Engel, I have not come across someone with incredible lumdus and overlapped with incredible panemius as well, all in the same sefer. Those who were at the shir I gave Shabbos morning, I made reference to another Rav Yosef Engel. He has drushas at the end of one of his svarim, and his first drusha is on Rosh Chodesh. He talks about the sphere of Malchus and the sphere of Tferis and the moon and the sun connecting to Kish Levana. So yeah, Rav Yosef Engel is fantastic when it comes to alumnus, but also just as fantastic when it comes to connecting it to a different world that we're not always exposed to. Okay, that was just a side point in terms of my love for this particular piece of Rav Yosef Engel. Yeah.
According to the explanation that we brought with Shem Rashi, that since Kalvachomer is going to be made by like anyone without a Masorah, in theory, that they have a certain weakness, that therefore we can't learn Onshin from them. Shouldn't that like disqualify making Kalvachomers at all?
No, it depends on the risk that's there. You know, if the risk is low, so then we can allow a person. If the risk is high, then we have to limit a person. Fine. So either way, he says, what would you say, would you apply Ein Onshin min Adin as it relates to Kofer? So he says, if you say Kofer is Mamon, so then it has a certain set of rules. He references another piece he mentions, whether you say Ein Onsh Min Adin applies also to Mamon in general or only to Misa. But if you assume it goes based on Ein Onsh Min Adin, Kufra is a Kapara, it's what he calls the world of Iser, not the world of Mamon, which by the way we're going to discuss tomorrow, Sugya, also some overlaps between Mamon and Iser as it relates to Shemitah's Ksafim and Pidyon HaBen. But that's the categories he's working with. There's Mamon or Kapara, which he's calling Iser. What would you say in that case? So he says it depends on the different reasons of why Ein Onshin Min Adin. If you assume Ein Onshin Min Adin is a din of, because maybe the more severe Avera deserves a higher Kapara, so then it says according to that, then you can't have a person Kapara. But if you assume the reason why Ein Onshin Min Adin is because Shem Yesh Pircha, maybe my Kavachomer is flawed, such a Safek, so for a Safek, I can't give a punishment, but a Safek of Kapara, as we saw in the Nemukah Yosef, one should pay Safek Kapara. So again, he balances between the worlds of the Machlokas about Kapara, and also the Machlokas how to understand Ein Onshin Min Adin. Okay, we're good, everyone, so far? And a lot of information.
Which Svara was that?
The second Svara was saying, if you assume in the world of Kufra Kapara, which is how we paskin, that if the problem of Einon Shema Din is a problem that because maybe there's a more severe kapara, so then you shouldn't give the kapara. Again, I don't know an example of how you apply Einon Shema Din to kapara lamaisa, but it's all very abstract right now. But if you can't apply a kapara for the severe case, I can't make a person play a kapara because he might require a larger kapara from Einon Shema Din. But if you assume that the reason why Einon Shema Din is because maybe there's a flaw, Shema Yesh Pircha, there's a mistake, so there's a suffix with maybe the case does require punishment, maybe it doesn't, I can't rely on my logic, so I just have to play it safe, it's a suffix. But if that were to be applied to kapara, it's a suffix, so I can't make you pay kapara, we paskin suffix on a kapara, you do pay, and therefore, according to that man, damar, the din would be suffix kapara chayef. That was a bit of a tricky one. I would say look back inside that first paragraph in the Beis HaOtzer. Okay, now, just we'll finish off with, we'll rattle off three quick nafkaminas here, two brought by Tosfos and one brought by the Tosfos Harid. Now, they're talking about Kapara versus Mamon in general. We have to question whether or not that would even work within our machlokas of the Ramban and the Ramam, who both work within the world of Kapara. So here, the Tosfos offers two suggestions of what a nafkamina is between Kofar being Kapara or Kofar being Mamon. And he says that, according to the Rehi quotes, Kigon Shemesa Mazik, if the Mazik dies and he owes money, Dein Kapara Lachamisa. If a person dies and he leaves behind the Chata, so he leaves behind the Nashim, a carbon, we say Chata Shemesu Bahaleha, we say the Din is Mesu. We don't let the carbon be brought. One must be alive to receive the Kapara. So if it would, he died, he would, the family would not have to pay the Kapara that was owed by the Mazik. But if you assume it's Mamon, it's outstanding money, so then the family would have to pay from the property of the Mazik, pay to the family of the Niza. So now, bring it back to our case, where we paskin kufr is kapara, so Ramban would say it's purely kapara, and there would be no chiv to pay the family of the Mazik after the Mazik dies. But according to the Ramam, well, there's also an element of nizikin attached to it, then seemingly the family of the Mazik should have to pay to the family of the Nizak, the kapara. And the second afkamina, he says whether or not there's a right, can the family of the Nizak, can there be mochel b'davar or not? If the point is to replenish somehow the monetary to pay back what the Nizak's family is owed, so it can be mochel, it's okay, we'll forego the payment, we don't need the mamon. But if it's a din of kapara, they have no right to be, all the way around. One second, yeah. So then if it's about kapara, then the din is he wouldn't be able to be mochel, the family of Nizak would not be at the mochel, because part of the kapara process is the mazik needs to pay, in which case the mechila wouldn't be effective. So now, according to the Rambam, so the Ramban said they couldn't be mochel, so for the Rambam who holds its kapara and mamon as well, also they wouldn't be able to be mochel either. This would not be nafkamina, because still they have the element of kapara. Even though they're mochel on the mamon element, they were not cannot be mochel on the kapara element. Yeah.
But he's
still saying with that mandamar kaf kufra kapara, he could have entertained the possibility that they should still have to pay the mamon element that mandamar, and it shouldn't be an afkamina according to them. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think it's a fine idea. Yeah, and then the final afkamina is from the Tosfos Arid. The Tosfos Arid says whether or not an eid echad could be mechayev a mazik to pay the kofra. So if you assume that the din of nezikin, so eid echad is not mechayev, an eid echad can be mechayev shvua, but an eid echad cannot be mechayev mamon, so in which case he would not be chayev to pay kofra. But if it's about kapara, he says an eid echad can be mechayev a person to do the kapara he's needed, and in that case he said that would be an afkamina as well. So now bring this into the world of the Ramban and the Ramam. So for the Ramban, it would work to mechayev him in eid echad because it's purely kapara. But even the world of the Rambam, even though there is an element of mamon, but be'ikr, it's really a din of kapara, so seemingly this eid echad would not serve as a nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay, so we did a lot today. Yeah.
Seeing that for the Rambam, though, if you have an eid echad as a chayv on the kofar, maybe Bezin could take mashma.
According to the Rambam, eid echad. Excellent, yeah, very good. Yeah, very, very good. Excellent. Yeah. Yes.